Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Generally, I know in the past few months, my messages have been a little bit more theological. Oh, maybe that's not the best. They should all be theological. But a little bit deeper into scriptures. But today, I have a very simple message about gratitude. Given that we have Thanksgiving coming up, I wanted to share a message about gratitude. But also, part of it is my testimony how gratitude has affected my own life. So, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands, Lord, for the understanding of your word, for the sharing of testimony, of applying your word, and all of the above, Lord, as we worship you. Lord, we submit ourselves into your hands that you may use us, but also that you may bless us. Lord, as I stand and share, Lord, may the words that I speak come from you. And once again, may I not be able to speak any words that are untruth, that is not reflective of who you are. Father, may you send me your spirit that you may use me today. And thank you, God, for hearing and answering our prayers, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Gratitude. So, gratitude. For the key word for today, kids, is gratitude. Maybe I should turn it on. Okay. Could you advance it one slide for me? Yes. The key word for today is gratitude. And for those of us who aren't unfamiliar with this big word, gratitude just means to be thankful or to show appreciation for something. And there is amazing power in this thing that we call gratitude, to be thankful. And there's two ways that I find that gratitude changes people. One, gratitude changes the person receiving the thanks, right? So if I say thank you to you, oftentimes it is a blessing and it actually changes us, that gratitude changes us. Secondly, gratitude also has the power to change the person giving the thanks. The year was 2001. It was my first year at the seminary. And I had not even actually completed 1 year. Actually, I had completed only one semester, or I should say about half a year. It was then that when I had picked up my life and my possessions and I moved to Andrews University because I felt that God was leading me, calling me to ministry. And I felt strongly that this was God's will for me. And I had come to Andrews University with the intention of becoming a youth pastor. And that realization came much quicker than I had anticipated. I was going to say, hey, once I graduate, I'm going to be a youth pastor. But one semester into it, I received a call from a pastor in Chicago. And how he got my number or how he knew who I was, I have no idea because I was just nobody from New Jersey. Maybe one of the other pastors had mentioned that I was there. I don't know. But he called me and he said, look, without ever having met me, which I thought was a little strange, he said, hey, we want you to be the youth pastor of our church in Chicago. And I had no idea who he was, and only thing I knew was that the church, Chicago, was about 2-hour drive from Andrews University. And he told me that it was a part-time position, and that I would be paid a whopping $300 a month. You know, but at the end of the day, I was just excited to be there, and I really didn't care about the drive or the money. I just wanted to serve God. But I told him, you know what, I would pray about it, and I would get back to him. So, it just happens that one of my friends, he was more experienced, he was older than I was, his name was David, and he was also in the seminary, but he was actually also the youth pastor of that church on campus. There was a Korean church on campus, and he was the youth pastor there. And when I shared that call, he said, you know what? the commute back, I know others have done that. The commute is a long commute and is a really takes a toll on your body. And so he said, why don't you just stay here? There's a need for you to serve here, so just help me out here. And that, to me, sounded great, right? So I said, okay, that sounds like a plan. That sounds like a great idea. So I called the pastor back, and I said, thank you for the opportunity, but I think God is calling me to serve here locally. He said, okay, but why don't you at least just come visit once? And I thought that was a reasonable request. He said, he clearly told me, you don't have to preach, just come and visit, right? I said, okay, I can do that, because I really didn't want to preach, right? I was like very new. I had only probably preached two messages in my entire life back at home. And so I was like, I'm good with that. I don't really want to preach anyway. And so he says, come visit. So Saturday morning, I get to church, and it's a little church that they're renting. It maybe had like 40 members, maybe not even. And I get there, and in the fellowship hall, there are about 8 or 9 kids sitting in the fellowship hall, much like the fellowship hall we have, right? And they had set up these tables, and apparently they're ready for worship. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And then they're all looking to me, right? I'm like, maybe because I'm a guest. But then it occurs to me that the pastor had not told them that I was only visiting. They're anticipating a message, and whatever else came was that. And I had to kindly tell them, look, like pastor told me, I didn't have to preach. And so I'm not ready to share anything. So it kind of worked out at the end. But to make a long story short, when I visited and I saw their situation, really God touched my heart. And I actually changed my mind. And I actually took that position as a youth pastor. And that was actually my very first pastoring position. Fast forward 6 months. And I had gotten to know the parents and the kids, and it was still a small church, but some others had joined. There was actually a merging of two churches, so the church was a little bigger. But anyway, this was a learning experience for me because, you know, I'm very new and like don't know exactly what I'm doing. Maybe I still don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. But at least I think I'm a little bit more seasoned now. And back then, I really had no clue. Anyway, I was just thankful that they had wanted me as their youth pastor, and I just loved ministry and youth, so I enjoyed doing it. But one Saturday morning, one of the moms took me aside, and she let me have it. Like, I remember the words that she spoke was so unkind, and she yelled at me for God knows, it felt like eternity, right? And I just sat there taking it. And she was saying that I was not doing enough for the kids, and that I was ultimately falling short of what I was doing. And when the conversation was over, considering what just happened, I was kind of discouraged. And in fact, at that point, I had considered quitting. And what I'm about to share with you next is not me trying to boast or to get sympathy, but to help you understand why I was kind of discouraged at this situation. You see, for the past 6 months, I had commuted from Andrews to that church, that 2-hour journey one way, and I taught Sabbath school, I preached, I hung out with them, and after church, almost every evening, I would take the church van, pick up the kids, take them out to eat after sunset, and we would go bowling or something like that, an activity almost every week. And by the time I was done, because I was picking them up and doing activity, and by the time I dropped them off, it was usually 12 or 1 in the morning, and that's Chicago time. And by the time I would make it back home, which was there was a 1-hour difference, so I would lose an hour, and by the time I made it back to Andrews, it was like 3 or 4 in the morning. And oftentimes, I would not even make it back home. Like, I was so sleepy that sometimes I would just pull off on the side of the highway and just sleep for a couple hours. Later, I learned that halfway there was a gas station. It was a Love's gas station. It was well-lighted, and so I would just pull in there if I wanted to sleep. And here I am thinking that I'm sacrificing for the Lord. And I thought, I'm doing this because ultimately, this is where God wanted me to be. I thought this is what the Lord would have me to do. So I sacrificed thinking that this was my calling. And to hear a mom say that I wasn't good enough really broke my heart, right? Because I thought I was giving it my all. And so I had contemplated, what should I do, God? And I had made up my mind a few days later that, you know what? If I'm in the way, God, I just want to get out of the way and kind of just quit. So I decided that I would resign that week and that Saturday. And Friday comes, and it just happened. I don't always do this, but I happened to go to my friend David's church that Friday evening. They always had Friday night Vespers. And after Vespers, I hung out a little bit, but a woman that I've never met before, she pulls me aside, and I said, "Hey, are you Pastor Steve?" I said, "I guess I'm him. Like, I'm Steve, and I'm trying to be a pastor. So that's me, I guess." And so she goes, "One of my friends goes to your church." And she continued in Korean, "I've heard of the wonderful things that you are doing with the kids in Chicago. And I just want to say thank you." You know, those words, simple words, "thank you," changed my life. When I say it changed my life, I went from being down and like wanting, basically set my mind to quit, from being on cloud nine and praising God that God has sent someone to affirm to me that I am where I belong. So, you know, those simple words of gratitude changed my life, and we don't know how our words of appreciation can change another person's life. The words of appreciation from a complete stranger saved my ministry, and it was as if God had sent an angel to encourage me. Now, Proverbs 25:11 says this, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the settings of silver. Those words, like thank you for me, were like apples of gold. Those words of gratitude energized me, and it brought me great joy. It was as if I had found lost treasure. You know, they say, as a kid, you know, they say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. I gotta disagree with that one. Words really sting pretty bad. And because of those words of gratitude, I pressed forward to continue to serve the Lord. And I actually ended up staying 2.5 years until I graduated the seminary. And the funny thing is this. During those 2.5 years, I went through 4 senior pastors. So I lasted almost all of them. And I think it's partly because I understood that I was appreciated for the most part. And those words of thank you, in many ways, got me through my my challenging years of ministry. You know, in my storage at home, I would have brought them, except my garage is not. I have 2 large plastic tubs. In them is my keepsakes. Every photo album someone has made for me, every letter they have written, but also in them, every note, every drawing, every artwork that our kids have made for me. Each token of love and appreciation from the kids, I have kept them all. And this one is from our newest kid, Olivia. And then Valerie, this is from my office. Valerie and Erica wrote me a little note, and William wrote me a little note. You know what? I keep all of them. And once in a while, like when I'm a little bit downtrodden or discouraged or just weary, I go back into that tub of letters and photos and artwork, and I look through them, and it brings me encouragement, and it gives me a sense of thankfulness that God can impact people through like a person like myself, in which I feel like I'm not even qualified to minister to people, but the fact that I'm able to do something for the Lord, I find myself being grateful to God. And it's ultimately the goodness of God that really draws me to him. It's the goodness of God that draws us to him. I want to ask you today, have you shared with your wife or your husband how grateful you are to have them in your life? Or even something simple, something that they do on a daily basis. Have you told your kids how much you appreciate them? How about the elders of this church? They do a lot actually behind the scenes. The greeters, the church clerk, the church treasurer, the community service leader, the Sabbath school teachers that teaches your kids and teaches the adult Sabbath school, or maybe even the person right next to you that you've taken for granted. I think the list can go on and on. And by showing gratitude, you may be changing that person's life more than you know it did for me. So the Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. But you know what? Gratitude not only changes and impacts the life of the receiver, which I was a receiver in that situation, but also it changes and impacts the life of the giver, the one that gives thanks. There is a man, he wrote a book, it's on gratitude. His name is John Krelick. And at 53, he says he was at the low point in his life. He was broke, like 40 pounds overweight. He was struggling with his second divorce. And he was a lawyer, but his law firm was losing money. His clients had stopped paying the money that he was owed. And even his own two sons had grown distant. He lived in a tiny, rundown apartment where he said it was freezing in the winter, but really hot in the summer. And not much was really going for him. But one day, he decided to go for a walk. He decided to go for a walk on a place called Echo Mountain Trail, leading to the Angeles National Forest in California. And John walked alone along those curvy roads until he was completely lost. Soon, he was not even sure that he could get back before dark. But then he said he heard a voice, and it wasn't a voice of a person, but it was an inner voice. He says, it said, until you learn to be grateful for the things you have, you will not receive the things that you want. And you realize that instead of focusing what he didn't have, and basically having a pity party, he could find some way to be grateful for what he already had. So he decided to find one person each day and write a thank you note to that person. He wrote this experience in his book, A Simple Act of Gratitude, How Learning to Say Thank You Changed My Life. And as he started writing thank you notes, changes started to happen. At first, nothing really happened, but these were good changes. Slowly, things started to happen. And not everything was noticeable right away, but as he began thinking more about others and how he had neglected to be grateful to the many people and the many things in his life, his own mind began to change. He became more positive. His self-pity went away. In fact, psychologists say when you have a mindset of gratitude, even the way your brain chemistry or the way your brain works starts to actually physically change. One day he wrote a thank you note to one of his sons because his son had given him a coffee maker. They ended up having a meal together, and his son suddenly repaid the $4,000 he had borrowed from his father long ago. Now, I'm not saying just because you're thankful that you're going to start seeing money, but what I'm saying is sometimes when you have an attitude of gratitude, looking for things up to be thankful for, and start appreciating people, the people around you pick up on that, and the changes that affect you will often affect the changes around you. In fact, in his office, he started the same spirit of gratitude, and he noticed that his office workers started to change. It was like a chain reaction. And his family life got better. And in fact, his law firm started to be more successful, to the point where he was actually, at one point, appointed a judge in California. and on and on and on, how changing his mindset of finding someone and something to be grateful for changed his life. It is said that individuals that who practice gratitude are healthier physically, healthier mentally, they're happier, they go to the doctor less often, they have better relationships, they have better sleep, they are more optimistic, and on and on and on. You see, our tendency is to notice the bad things, the things that are not going right in our lives, and we tend to focus and highlight that. But what if instead we highlight and focus on the things that are the good things that are happening in our life, the things that we should be thankful for? Gratitude is a way for people to appreciate what we have instead of always reaching for something new in the hopes it will make us happier. Gratitude helps us refocus on what we have instead of what we lack. More importantly, the spirit of gratitude is not just for human beings, for us to apply to each other. More importantly, it is a mindset that we need to approach God with as well. Exodus 4, 29 to 31. So God calls Moses, and he says, Moses, I want to send you to Egypt to free my people. He's like, no, Lord, you got the wrong guy. To make a long story short, God sends Aaron to go with Moses, and this is where story takes place. And they arrive in Egypt with the Hebrews. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord has spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. So you see, at the heart of worship for the children of Israel, was that it was gratitude. They were grateful that God had interceded. They were grateful that God has seen their affliction and that he cared. And he sent Moses and Aaron to intercede in their lives. That gratitude led them to bow their heads and worship God. I want to ask you, has your passion for worship diminished? Has the worship of the Lord become a little flat or just routine? At the heart of worship is gratitude to God. Are you thankful to God? Are you? And if so, what are you thankful for God, to God for? It is the goodness of God that leads us to him. It is only as we seek gratitude that we are led to truly worship God. But it's not just about worship, right? Prayer. Oftentimes when we pray, we jump straight to God, I need this, A, B, C, D, and F, right? But what if we pray as much about thanksgiving and praise as much as we have requests? Because in reality, there's much more that God does for us. There's much more to be thankful for than our need. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, and there was an army around surrounding the city of horses and chariots, and the servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So this is the context of basically, I believe it was Elisha. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. So basically, the prophet Elisha has been warning the king of Israel to avoid certain traps that have been set for him, and then he got frustrated. He's like, how in the world does this king always know what we're planning? And they figured out it was Elisha, right? And so they come to basically kill Elijah. And when his servant wakes up in the morning and goes and sees, he sees that the city is surrounded. There are chariots, there are soldiers, and they are outnumbered by quite a bit. And the Bible says, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, maybe we can make an application to this in the sense that if we look around us, if God were to open our eyes, there's much more that God does for us. But we often focus on the negative. There's much more that our God does for us than what the enemy tries to do to us. And at the end of the day, God's kingdom, God's soul, the angels, God's goodness, vastly more than what we face in terms of the negative things in our lives. So today, I wanna encourage you that each day, find something that you can be grateful for. But more specifically, that we can be grateful to God for. As you begin to find, apply this idea of gratitude, I think you'll also come to discover that your life will also change. Your worship will also change. Your worship will have more meaning and joy. So my encouragement is that this Thanksgiving season, not just this Thanksgiving season, but each day, that we will find a way to be grateful. What I've done is this. In the back, when you walk out, there are some cards. We've done this before. If you want to write a thank you note to anyone here, anyone not here, doesn't matter. We will try to get it to them. Or better yet, maybe you can pull someone aside and say, thank you for what you do. Thank you for who you are. You know what? And by doing so, we have no idea if those words will ultimately change a person in his or her life. God bless you guys. So why don't we close with a song, and then I will come back for a benediction.